I literally think that's one of the best video commercials we've ever had. That's awesome. It's awesome, awesome. Well, good morning, church. Wow, we could go home and say we had church already, amen? It's awesome. I want to make an announcement that wasn't on the announcements that tonight at 5 o'clock in the courtyard is our Connect groups. Come and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fellowship, and you really aren't part of a church until you get broke down into smaller groups where you actually get to build relationship with people and become family. So that's what our once a month Sunday night is all about. So if you don't have a group already, come. We'll find you one. Everybody here is normal, so you're going to enjoy it. So trust me, come and be part of it. How many is going to be here tonight? Don't lift your hands. I don't want to see it. Okay. It's going to be awesome. So I've got a funny story for you this morning. I think you'll enjoy this. There was a scientist went to God and said triumphantly, "We've worked out how to make a man without you." And God laughed and said, "Okay then, show me, go ahead." So the scientist bent down and picked up a handful of dirt, but God stopped him. "Oh no, you don't," said God. "Get your own dirt." It's all God's dirt. It's his world. He's in charge of everything. It started with him and it'll end with him. Amen. Well, it's a real honor to be here today to share with you. I feel like the Lord gave me a word a few weeks ago, and it's just one of those words that you just keep adding on to and building. And I know that God spoke to me and said, as was in the first service, that there are going to be some hearts that are shifted this morning. Our focus is going to be shifted. And so I want to share that with you this morning, and I'll feel a lot better after this word is delivered. I'd like to thank Reuben back there. I asked him to play. Reuben is amazing. If you don't know Reuben, he's one of the most amazing people in this church. Servant heart. He's an incredible musician, and I just love that he's part of our team. I feel very honored to serve with people like him. I'm also very honored to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Mike and Mary, for letting me get up here in Big Church, and my husband, Bob, for all your support. I love you to the moon and back. My kids, BJ and Mel, and everybody else, thank you, and thank you for listening this morning. And I just want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit right now. He's in this room. He showed up today in an incredible way. And I believe he wants to continue throughout this word, so I might just stop and not do anything. Don't get nervous. We're just waiting on God. But I want us to start seeing this morning in a greater measure things from God's perspective. So many times we get caught up with things that are happening around us, chaos, wars, rumors of wars, addictions, violence, and we just get caught up in this, and it becomes the focal point, and we filter life through all of that. And I want to challenge you this morning, just like you were going into Harkins Theater to a 3D movie, I want to challenge you to put on your Holy Ghost 3D glasses this morning and just ask the Holy Spirit to let you see things from his perspective. And I know that if we do that this morning, we're going to leave here stronger, more effective, and encouraged in God. So I'm going to read this first verse. And if you would with me this morning, if you would just close your eyes while I read this first portion of Scripture. And I want to make this a prayer for everyone in the room. So just focus and get off of Facebook and texting and emails. And just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart right now as I read this Scripture. Ephesians 1:21, Paul's praying, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance." He's praying right now over this church that there would become a divine download and things would get in perspective and they would understand the hope and their inheritance that God had set aside and designated for his church. And also the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same power as that raised Jesus from the dead. far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And I pray, church, that you would understand this, that God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Thank you, Jesus. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You can open your eyes now. Just like Elijah prayed over his servant when the servant went out and saw the armies descending upon them, and he said, "We're dead meat. We need to run. We need to do something." And Elijah just said, "No, just stop. Father God, open my servant's eyes that he could see the big picture and what's really going on and who's really in charge right now in the middle of this potential war." And God instantly opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the angels encamped round about. And I pray this morning that God would open each and every one of our eyes so that we could understand and see the big picture in 3D through Holy Ghost glasses, what's really happening today. You willing to hear that this morning? Are you willing to hear that this morning? Come on, church. I need you to stay with me. Thank you. The last portion of this scripture in the message is what my whole message is about this morning. The church, you see, now this is God, how God looks at the whole picture. This is how God looks at everything. God says, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks, in which he acts by, in which he fills everything with his presence. So what does that mean? The church is not peripheral to the world. So in God's view and in God's vision, I want you to see this. God's looking at everything. He's looking at the big picture. And in God's vision, the church is the center of his focus. The peripheral outside here is the world. So the peripheral is the things you see off to the side and you're not really looking at it. You're not focusing on that. What you're focusing on is what is in front of you. So the church is what God is focusing on. Everything else is peripheral. Well, what does peripheral mean? It means beside the point. Ha. Exterior, inessential, irrelevant, minor, the outside, superficial. Really? Is that the way God sees things? Absolutely. He's assigned us to fix the world. He's focused on us. God has tunnel vision, church, and we're it. I'm going to say that again. God has tunnel vision, and we're it. He's not distracted on anything else that's going on. He's focused on his church. Can you say amen this morning? My focus this morning and my goal is that you don't walk out of this building and say, "Oh, she was a cute little preacher, and yeah, she was funny sometimes. She dressed really cool." Amen? No. But my goal is that you would walk out of here and you would walk out and smell the air and look at the world at a whole different perspective. Because if we can do that, we win. God is tired of the church being focused on man, celebrities, and preachers. It's getting quiet in here. I wonder what it would look like. You remember those days when they had the unknown comic and they came out with that big bag over their head and they told jokes and everybody thought it was hilarious? What would it look like if we did that to preachers? Had them standing behind a curtain. You're never going to be seen by the people. Just give the word. Well, gee, I might want to get out of the ministry. It's getting real quiet in here. So I'm going to move on. I'm going to read Ephesians 1 now through the message. And I want you to listen to this with your heart because there's some key things in here that I feel like God wants us to really embrace. And bear with me, the media team. I am going to skip around, but I'm just put the scriptures up and I'll pick and choose here. Paul, I am under God's plan as an apostle. I, Paul, a special agent of Jesus Christ, writing to you faithful believers in Ephesus. Skip down here. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Can you turn to your neighbor and say he had you in mind? He had us in mind long before. So I can just picture back thousands of years ago, before earth was really formed, before dirt was made, before the waters were formed, before the sky was the sky and the birds were the birds, that God and Jesus were talking about what their future was going to look like and what eternity was going to look like. And I think when they got to man, they got so excited. Said, yeah, the earth is really cool and it's going to be beautiful and spectacular. But these creatures that we're going to create in our own image that's going to look and act like us, they are going to rule the world. Our kingdom is going to come through them. They're going to bring kingdom down to earth, and they're going to change the atmosphere. And I believe they got so excited, probably for like seven eternities, about what mankind was going to look like. So long before the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us. We have his last name, people. We have his DNA. We're raised in his house. We know how things are done. We know his heart. Amen? And God planned it that way. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. Oh, yes, we are. How many are free in here today? Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free. Free indeed. I wonder if we could just take a moment this morning to lift our hands and thank him for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Just take a moment. Thank you, Daddy, for setting me free from this. Thank you for setting me free from that. Thank you for putting me where you put me. Thank you for planning my destiny. Thank you for your provision. Not just barely free, but free indeed, abundantly free. He thought of everything that we could possibly need. Verse 11, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. See, it's in Christ. It's not in our own ability to survive, to succeed, to exceed. It's not in our own financial status, our own celebrity status, or whatever status we think we own, what family we belong to. All of that is nothing if Christ's thumbprint is not upon our lives. Nothing. It's that thumbprint. It's in Christ that we find out who we are. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. I need you to really understand that this morning, that nothing that's happening today is a surprise to him. He knew that Debbie was going to be here on October 23rd at CFTN bringing the word of the Lord. He knew that. Things like that blow my mind. Our steps are ordered. Do you believe that, church? In verse 20, 23, it says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he set him on a throne in deep heaven. Now listen to this. He's in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. Wait a minute. He's in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. Some of y'all been real ugly lately on Facebook. There's no name and no power exempt from his rule. Not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. Whoa. The air just got sucked out of the room this morning. The church is not peripheral to the world. I'm reading this again. But the world is peripheral to the church. So God needs the church to represent him. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks, in which he acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. I got news for us this morning, church. God has no rivals. He has no equal. And last but not least, he has no competition. wins. So if he wins, we win. So this is not a competitive race, people. This is a kingdom celebration that we serve the living God, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's forever in charge, and he will forever, ever be in charge. When we can put God in his place, then we can take our place. When we have his kingdom thumbprint on our heart, and our goal is to be like Jesus. Lord, do whatever you have to do to me to make me be like you. Because when I'm like you, I have your thumbprint. When I have your thumbprint, I can take my place in the kingdom and do what you've called me to do, Jesus. We need to understand that we can trust God with all different areas of our lives. Oh, we say it, but do we believe it? How much do we trust him with our family? I mean, it's real easy to trust God for friends, for missionaries, for whatever's going on. But when it's my kid and he comes home and he's got track marks in his arms and he's sleeping around and doing whatever he can do to keep his addiction up, now that's a big problem. Might be too big for God. I might have to take that one on. That's called enabling. Ooh. But when we turn that child over to Jesus Christ, and we let God be God in their lives, I promise you, if you planted an apple tree in that child, he's going to bear apples. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. I don't care if that tree looks dead, if it looks dried up, if the apples are falling off. If you planted an apple tree, you need to know that you're going to have apples someday. I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't get distracted by your current circumstances. Do not get distracted. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. If you're believing right now for a child or a loved one that's drug addicted, would you be so bold as to stand to your feet? All over this building, yes. Go ahead, stand up, because I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some people set free today. Going to be some people set free. Now we're going to pray like an army as a church, and I want you to turn around and point your hand towards somebody, and we're going to put into practice what we just believed. Father God, we thank you that you are the Lion of Judah, that you are the healer, the deliverer, Father God. We declare that drug addiction is broken today, and that there are testimonies that come about that they have been delivered today at 12:26 p.m. in the afternoon on Sunday. We curse addictions and we declare freedom today in the name of Jesus. We declare freedom in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you that we're going to see apples. We're going to see apples, Father God. We're going to see the fruit of our labor today. Thank you, Jesus. I want you people to declare that stood today. I want you to continue to declare freedom for them. And don't go by what you see, but go by what God says this morning. He's also in charge of our government, as we shared this morning in elections. Oh, yes, he is. Come on now. It's not hopeless. It's not over. I got newsflash for you today. God already knows on November 8 who's going to win. Oh, yes, he does. And if it's not your candidate, don't be ugly to everybody else. The Bible says that God puts up and God takes down. Whew. Now, you got to do your job. You have to vote. I put my little ballot in the envelope yesterday, took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook, and I said, Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. Jesus, take the wheel. But if everything crumbles tomorrow, God's still in charge. It's still his world. We're still his kids. This is still his kingdom. Amen. He's in charge of world peace. Looks pretty scary the last few weeks. He's in charge of Putin from Russia. Who names their kid Putin? Anyway. Sorry, Mr. Putin. How about Kim Jong-un from Korea, North Korea? God's in charge of him. God's bigger than him. God's not competing with Kim. He's not. He's not competing with Castro. It's God's world. God's in charge. We have to adjust our binoculars, our Holy Ghost vision, and we say, Father, let me focus on you. Let me be the center. Everything else around me is secondary. You're in charge. He's in charge of the economy. Remember Y2K? Please. I mean, I'd rather be dead than eat dry meat in a can for the next 25 years. Give me a break. Take me home, Jesus. No, I'm not doing that. Remember, manna was God's idea, and he made it happen every day for a very long time. So when he drops my fresh grilled fish, my nice green tossed salads, because he loves me. I'm his kid. You're his kids. We got to get this. How many of you came to church this morning and said, gosh, I hope a big trial smacks my kid upside the head and I hope he suffers? No, we don't do that, do we? Oh, God bless my children. Give them the very best. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. Give them long life. Give them good health. Prosper them. Bless them that they be in good health. Bless their souls, Jesus. That's how we treat our kids. See what we got to look forward to? I remember back in the days when Bob and I were first married and just things were really tough. We both worked really, really hard. But you know, when you're trying to get started and you're trying to buy a washing machine and, you know, a couch, and it seems like you need everything at once. And so it felt like we just had a lot of lack. But every time we were always worked our jobs, each of us full time, and then we worked in the church full time, only that didn't pay us any, Brother Frank. That didn't pay us a dime. That's okay. That was back in the day, Oh Happy Day song. But we would work, and every evangelist or prophet that would come through would call Bob and I up and just prophesy. I was, you know, God's going to bless you. I see favor and prosperity all over you and just all this good stuff. And you're never going to be without. You're never going to know lack. You're always going to have enough. And I thought, mister, you are nuts. You don't even know what we have in our house. You don't even know what we don't have in the bank. Are you? And I would be arguing. It's a wonder God didn't nuke me. He didn't. You know, God just creates some people with a mouth, and I just happen to have one of those. I'm not going to lie to you. So while they're prophesying to me, like for 30 years, I'm like, nah, 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 you know, nah, or 20 years. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it'll be 45 years in December, and I can tell you that God has never forsaken us. He's always provided for us. We've always had what we needed. We've always been blessed. We've always been favored. And it's like, you're not supposed to have this kind of energy and this kind of purpose and this kind of excitement at our age. And I'm more excited now than I ever have been. Yay, God. Yay, God. God is faithful. He will always take care of you, church. Just make him the focus of your life. God has a plan of redemption, a plan of adoption for us, a plan of freedom, abundant freedom, abundance. It's not God's will that we walk around in bondage, controlled by things that we can't break free from. That is not God's will for your life. He said, I've created you to be free, and I've created you to have abundant freedom. That's what he's created us to be. He's given you a plan of identity. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. The plan of purpose, a plan of revelation, a plan of empowerment, a plan of grace, and a plan of equality. God is so good. God is so good. He's building his church, his kingdom, his way. He's in charge, you know. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, he's in charge? He really is. Ephesians 2 says, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. Aren't you happy about that? I look back, and I was 8 years old when my dad found Jesus. He was a raging, drunken alcoholic, Mom had filed for divorce. There were 5 children. I had 1 pair of shoes. And when, I don't know if anybody else did this, but those little 99-cent tennis shoes from the variety store. And then when you got your foot out, grew it, Mom just cut the toe out and made it a toe. Yes, she did. Y'all are looking at me. Oh, yes, she did. Yeah. You did not just get new shoes. I mean, you needed to be like touching the ground when you had shoes. And all the dysfunction and just a reproach in the whole town that we lived in. I'm so glad that God takes us from where we were and brings us to where we are. I'm so glad that if you were born poor, that you don't have to stay poor. I'm so glad that if you were born crippled, you don't have to stay crippled. You can get healed. I'm so happy that if you were born broken or come up in broken circumstances, that God can make you whole. He never leaves you where you're at. Never. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you. The worship songs this morning, I couldn't believe it. The set. Let me just read you a few of the words that we sang this morning. Jesus has the last word. That was a prophetic pronouncement from Edward. We sang Lion of Judah. Who can stop the Lord? He's almighty. You are faithful. God is all of that and more. If you're in a delayed spot this morning or in a spot that you know God has more for you, you need to just stay in to Him. Press in, because the more that His thumbprint is upon you, the more that you're going to progress and go into what God has promotion for everybody in this building this morning, if we'll just embrace it and refuse to stay where we're at. Oops, I just got a text. It's not God. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundations. Now He's using you and you and you and you and you and you and you. Fitting us in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Wow. See, God likes showing up where we are. He was dancing over us this morning as we worshiped. And I don't know if you noticed it, but there was a moment when God pushed open every door in this sanctuary and came in. It was like, whoa. You could feel it this morning. He can't wait to be with us, to stay with us. He anticipates us. Colossians 2 says, everything of God gets expressed in Him. So you can see and hear Him clearly. Now listen to this. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. So, church, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't lose track of who started this whole journey that we're on. It wasn't Allah. It wasn't Muhammad. It was Father God. And He so loved the world that He made provision for us to live in eternity and to live in victory. So when we forget who's in charge, all hell breaks loose in our life. Amen? Anybody get in a murmuring role just this week? How'd that work for us? Us. How'd that work for us? Did it change anything? Nope. So complaining, doubt, and fear, anxiety, this is all what happens when we don't trust God. Depression, anger, accusations, distrust. Whew. All of these will immobilize us as a church. And all of it distracts us from the true reason that we're here. The reason we're here is to bring His kingdom to earth and to see the earth turn to Jesus. We can do that. You know we can through Him. We just can't get distracted. We are in this world, but we're not of it. The church is called to be light, hope, peace, and joy. That's what we're called. So this week, when it gets uglier and uglier on Facebook about the elections, and we've all defriended each other because we're not on the same parties. One person posted, "You people that are voting against my candidate are missing part of your brain." Now get this, "And I'm praying for you." What's wrong with that? I think if we would spend as much or more time praying and contending and declaring that God's person and God's will is going to come forth as we do venting, I think we would see a lot more done. Amen? I do. I believe that as a church. As a church. Let's put Jesus first. Because when we put Him first, He's in charge. And when He's in charge, things happen that are good. So this morning in closing, I want to pray this morning very specifically. I want to pray for those of you who are here today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So He's not the center of your world, but you've become distracted by everything else. And the distraction has caused major brokenness in your life, that nothing's really working for you. And if that's you here this morning, we want to pray for you. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, we're going to play Holy Ghost Peekaboo here for just a moment. It's like, well, really, if God sees our hand, He's the only one, that's all that matters anyway, right? So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you've walked away and you've gotten distracted and the distractedness has caused brokenness, just wave your hand at me real quick. We're going to pray for you today. Yeah, we're going to pray for you. Yeah, all over this building. All over this building. I wonder if the congregation would stand with me all together. And I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward. And those of you who said that you were not walking with the Lord or had never walked with the Lord, I'm going to invite you to come up first. But in the meantime, we're going to say a corporate prayer and give you time to invite Jesus into your life this morning. Would that be okay? That's awesome. It's awesome. So if you would just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life today to be the Lord and Savior of all that I am. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be the Savior of my life. I surrender everything to you today. I thank you, Father, that you are the King and the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Can we just give it up for the Lord this morning? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, if you're one of those that prayed that prayer, you're welcome to come up front. If not, please tell somebody that you came with or somebody beside you what you did this morning so that we can stay connected with you. I also want to pray for those who have felt like they've completely lost focus. They've become so distracted and so overwhelmed that even fear and anxiety and distrust and doubt has begun to rule and reign in your life. If you're here this morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Those of you that have lost your peace, the Bible says perfect peace has he whose mind that is stayed upon the Lord. So the Lord's provision for us this morning is perfect peace. He wants us to walk in perfect peace. So if that's any of you here this morning, we're going to just worship for a moment. And I'm going to invite you to come up to the altar. We're going to spend time with you, that God would absolutely change your focus. Everybody in this room this morning, that you would leave here today with a crisp and clear focus of who Jesus is, what his kingdom is, and who's really in charge of everything, okay? So this morning we're going to worship. As we worship, just lift your hands and just worship him, and the rest of you come forward for prayer as needed. Let's raise our hands all over this building and worship him. Yes, you are, Father. You are good.